Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at RSS.com.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Sip and Chat, 2 P's, 2 T's. It seemed like it's been a minute, but I'm here with my brothers, Randy and Carlos. Yes, what's sir. Up, fellas?
Hey, how's it going, buddy? What's How are you?
Man, I'm good, man. It seemed like it's been a while since we've been in the lab. We had some stuff going
setbacks.
On.
Yeah, we had a few setbacks.
Like
yeah.
said, life.
Yeah. Randy's been sick, but you off the sick and shut-in list now, right?
I'm on the rise.
You'll be looking like a unicorn.
I'm a unicorn.
Yeah. All right. It ain't in the middle of my head, but I'll take it. It's that pregame.
You did. How's everybody doing?
Chilling. Cooling, man.
Wellness check. Randy, how you doing, man? You've had the most going on.
I am in the land of the living right now. I will say that. So I'm well. All is well.
All is well. Intentional.
Yes, still.
Still intentional.
Yeah, and purposeful, yeah.
Yeah. Carlos, what about you?
I cannot complain, man. I'm happy to be here still. Living my life, taking good naps. Life is good, man. I can't complain.
And you've settled in? Can we talk about that? Or
I'm still settling in, but I'm good. I'm good. I'm settled enough, but I'm still acquiring things and getting things away. All's good. All's good. Good.
Your neighbors know your name yet?
No. No. Well, they probably do, but not because I've introduced myself. They've probably done a background check on me already.
Oh, yeah.
You know how that go.
he'll know once he starts seeing for sale signs on both sides.
I've seen a couple already. I've seen like 2 or 3 U-Haul trucks.
They said my credit score just dropped. They said,
oh, hell no.
There goes the neighborhood.
I've seen a couple of U-Haul trucks pull up, a couple for sale signs up to the yard. I don't take that personal, man. You know, it's a seller's market.
It is. I don't think it is, but yeah.
Everything gonna be all right, man. I'm good with it. As long as they cross their property line, we're gonna be all right.
Yes, sir.
What's next on it?
Damn. So y'all ain't gonna ask how I'm doing?
How you doing, brother? You've been wilding lately, man. You need to probably not know how you doing.
I'm just saying, where's the comment? Like, I'm doing well. I'm doing fine. I'm good.
Damien, big brother Almighty. How are you doing, man?
I'm wonderful. I'm purposeful. I'm good.
Yeah, good deal, man. Good deal.
Hey, so let's give a shout out to our sponsor, Rise Chattanooga Amplify Podcast Network 2901 Taylor Street. Shout out to Shane Morrow.
Yes, sir. Big ups. One time for Shane.
And also with our sponsors, Old Post Beverage, located at 3472 Battlefield Parkway.
V Horn
and his crew.
Check him out. Tell him.
Let's give a shout out to them folks.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I talked to V Horn yesterday. He talking about his back hurt. You know, it is getting old.
Hey, that's my dude.
Yeah, I like cool old
people.
V Horn.
He cool people. One time for V Horn, man.
One time. So what we drinking on today? Speaking of V Horn, what we drinking on?
You got one can.
We got some RTDs, some ready to drinks, and this one is a Bird Dog. And it's a pre-mixed cocktail, margarita mix. It actually tastes pretty good.
And I am trying. Oh, this is another one. Okay, what I'm trying, apparently he gave us a smorgasbord, Cutwaters. The one that I had was the Long Island Tea, and it is, the can has been crushed. But apparently we have a plethora of different types of cutlets.
Oh, man, we do got
we got different flavors.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Man, we leave up out of here.
Well, you know, a Uber.
So the one you had was a...
Long Island tea.
Long Island tea.
I think it was like 13% by volume. We have in front of us the espresso martini, the tiki rum Mai Tai, the white Russian, the strawberry margarita, the lemon drop martini. And again, I had the Long Island tea, which tastes pretty good. Tastes like a Long Island tea. The thing with cutwaters is, man, they tend to be a little bit stronger than what people think. They get the drinking on them or whatever. The next thing you know, it's a viral clip on social media.
Yeah, I'm scared to drink that while we're here.
Moderation, baby. Yeah. Moderation.
And then also we got another RTD. It's a mango lemonade, Bird Dog brand.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to have to try this one out next. Pre-mixed cocktail, 8%. Vernon hooked us up this time. Shout out to Vernon. Give him.
So you saying he hooked us up the last time?
No, he did. Vernon hooked us up. He has definitely taken care of us.
One time for V-Horn, man. One more time. You check your brother.
So, just to jump into today's episode, it is Black History Month, and we want to kind of stick with that theme.
February.
Shortest month of the year.
28 days, except for on the leap year, 29. Yeah.
So, Black History Month, you know, like, mm-hmm. What is the significance of Black History?
The month itself, I think that it just takes a moment to recognize those that have been pioneers and leaders in our community that have done those things, right? Have stood above and beyond just the average everyday Joe. I kind of struggle with Black History Month, and Randy sent me a clip earlier that I can identify with because they call it Black History Month.
I was getting ready to pull it myself, but go ahead.
Go ahead.
No. Since you're already, go ahead and finish your point.
Well, the point I'm trying to make is that Black history is American history. And like Morgan Freeman said, it shouldn't be relegated down to 28 days of the year. It should be American history. And just like we talk about Benjamin Franklin and George Washington and Abraham Lincoln and all the greats that were not black, we can mix and mingle history because it happened according to the time frame and not according to the race, right? So to make those things relevant in the time span that it happened, why not just teach the history along the way and not forget those of color that have done those things and made those leaps and bounds when it came to technology, science, math, and all the things.
But you said something about Black history, like it isn't separate from American history, right? And it should be, like you said, universal with everything else, Ben Franklin's and Thomas Jefferson's mm-hmm. and all that. So, mm-hmm. you know, and then, you know, a lot of this country was built off of the Black history. You know?
Yes.
So it was regulated into just 1 month, you know. I always have this phrase, you don't know where you're going unless you know where you're going.
Yeah.
And I think that's important for us to understand.
Which the race conversation is always one of those tough pills to swallow, because even when you're having a conversation with someone that's not of color, it tends to be a reluctance or a sense of guilt that we need to try to work our way through and navigate to get to the other side, because you can only move forward when you can have those conversations in those spaces where I'm not pointing the finger and blaming you for what happened, but I want you to recognize those things, right? That they are reality, and there are things that have happened because of those things that have happened. Repercussions, I guess, or just symptoms of the reason why we are where we are today is because some of the things that have happened in our past.
Yeah.
Right. And to be able to have that conversation with somebody that's not of color and recognize, okay, yes, there have been some great things that have happened, but there have been some bad things that have happened too. And we should be able to have a space where we can have those conversations and no one gets offended or angry or upset. And we can still walk away with a decent sense of respect for each other.
Gotcha.
On the back end of it.
Randy, what you think?
Well, I'm just going to, add to what Carlos said about the post from Morgan Freeman. And, of course, it makes good sense to me. But he said Black history is American history.
Mm-hmm.
So, basically, why is it just the month of February?
Right.
And the way I deem it and look at it, it's Black history every day. You know, I look at our community. You know, we are the innovators of a lot of stuff.
Right.
You know, that other cultures, you know, tend to take on, maybe monetize off of it, when we're just doing it because the culture, we do for fun, we do it for fellowship, mm-hmm. and all of those things. But I definitely have to agree with Morgan Freeman when he says Black history is American history.
It is.
So yeah. Why should it be dwindled down to a month? Sorry. Like he said, I don't like Black History Month. And I can, now that I'm old enough to be able to understand some things when it comes to this particular month, I can agree to that.
So I guess just to kind of piggyback off of what both said, why do we kind of correlate Black history to the struggle versus the excellence of the history of African American?
Well, I only think about the excellence. Well, let me correct that. I think about the excellence more than I do of the struggle. But with that being said, with that being said, the struggles happen because like Randy referred to earlier, there have been a lot of great things that have come from the Black community or from people of color, period, that have been taken, so to speak, and monetized on, so to speak, by other cultures. And so that makes it relevant, the struggles, because if I can't get for my product what you can get for it, then that's a problem.
Yeah.
And we can talk about the slavery and all the other things or whatever, but even in the excellence, there are things that have been invented, created, discovered by people of color that someone else has come and said, hey, sign this over to me and I'll give you a couple of $100. The game Operation Game.
Really?
Invented by a Black man. And do you know he's only got, last time I saw it, and maybe something's changed since then, but the last time I saw it, he got a $500 check for the creation of that game. And can you imagine how much money has been made by Mattel or whoever has that the patent or rights to that game or whatever, how much money they've made.
Right.
And from what I understand, the last time that I saw something on it, he only made $500 off. So perfect example of the excellence, right? But how he got robbed in the meantime.
That's a good idea.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at RSS.com.
I heard that, but I didn't know the actual facts on it. But even things like the light bulb, you know, we always kind of attribute that to Thomas Edison. But people really ever talk about Louis Latimer.
Talk to us about Louis.
Louis Latimer was, I don't want to call him his assistant, but he worked alongside Thomas Edison when he was developing his inventions and stuff like that. So that's just something that, you know, again, that's inventions or creations or excellence that kind of get lost in the book.
Yeah. You know, and does it get lost by mistake or is it on purpose?
Well, here's the thing. Like, so was it last year or a couple of years ago, all of us went up to Uncle Nearest.
Uncle Nearest, yeah.
And we heard the story of Uncle Nearest and Jack Daniels, right?
Right.
But here's the thing, and y'all tell me what y'all think about it. Yeah, things may have been done wrong in the past, but what do we do about it now? And I feel like Fawn Weaver and them and that group has regained Uncle Nearest's his legendary status, you know, and putting out that he was one who actually developed the ingredients for, you know, Jack Daniel.
Even in that, in the news lately, and I think she's getting some leeway on it, but there was a incident where she was being sued, I guess, or the bank was trying to call in the loan that she took out for the distillery, saying that she mismanaged funds or did this and did that with it or whatever, and was trying to get her to move in a way to where they, like, take on ownership of the distillery. And it's the same old story again, right?
And it didn't work.
I think now we live in an era where, because of camera, because of social media, and because you can get the word out against people or on people, you know, it used to be when things like that would happen, by the time you heard about it, it was already said and done. But now we live in an era now to where as soon as things happen, somebody can pick up a camera and you can see it right then and there and live.
Right.
And so people can voice up and take on arms and band together to prevent piracy, so to speak.
But it's been so much like, you know, Madam C.J. Walker becoming one of the first women, I know, millionaires,
mm-hmm.
and building a empire with a haircare stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's so much. It's so much. So we know that. And so what are we doing to continue those that legacy?
Well, we got to get out of our own way, man, and really learn how to work together. Me and Shane were just talking earlier about Jesse Jackson passing it. Rest in peace to Jesse Jackson, his legacy and all the things, Black community. And we know as a human being that everything that he's done hadn't been perfect, but there are some things that we can't deny. If it wasn't for him and the people working beside him, that we wouldn't have as soon as we got him to this day. So RIP to his legacy and everything that I stood for and protected us, the Black community. But with saying that, we also talk about when it comes to Black history and those martyrs, right, that they've had come along the way, Megar Evers, Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, and how there were people of color that aided in taking them down. And as a community, we've got to learn how to get out of our own way, can stop the envy, the jealousy, and all the things that we have to come along with that, where I'm willing to sell you out for a dollar or for a position or whatever. And understand that if my role is pulling the curtain or operating the lights or switchboard or whatever, and it's a big movement, I need to play my part. You know, I don't have to be on the front stage or whatever. I can play my part, and as a community, we can move as one.
And the battle might not be for you at that moment; could be for those that's coming behind you.
Right.
So, you know, for me, again, Black History Month isn't about, you know, going backwards. It's about understanding how we got here and how can we continue to move stronger. You know, that's just kind of, again, we can highlight Black History Month in February. Like Randy said, this is something that, you know, every day, every month, we should be celebrating. And not necessarily, you know, on a national stage, but as an individual.
Right.
You know, anytime I put my uniform on and go do what we do, I take pride in that because of those who came before us.
Right.
And it should be the same way with everybody else.
Not only those that come before, not to cut you off, but not only those that came before, but the mark that you're making, you know, or that, mm-hmm. you know, we're making or have made. But and that's every day.
Damien, you are Black History.
Yeah.
Randy? You are Black History.
I know.
Carlos?
Off of social media,
you are Black History.
We know you are Black History.
Yeah. Like a legend in my family.
Let's talk about that. It was your granddad, though, right?
Correct, yes.
Talk to us.
Yeah. I can't give you much detail, but it would take taking my father. But yes, he was one of the first Black sergeants with CPD.
CPD is?
Chattanooga Police Department.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I appreciate that.
Yes, sir.
One of the first Black sergeants. Here in Chattanooga, of the Chattanooga Police Department. And if my recollection is correct, he was one of the first, he was either the first or one of the first to arrest a white man here in Chattanooga.
Which was something that was unheard of. And unaccepted.
Correct.
When they first started to bring color into the ranks of CPD.
Correct.
You had to call for a white officer.
Right.
To arrest someone that was white. A Black officer could not do that.
So what is the story? Like, was there any pushback behind that once he did that? Like,
from what I've heard from my uncle, who was also a detective, one of your first few Black detectives with Chattanooga Police Department, there was no pushback. And even from my father, there was no pushback with that. My granddaddy was.
Man must have been wrong. Well,
I think, like I said, from the conversations from both of them, my granddaddy was a bodybuilder, so to speak. He was chiseled, a big guy, big Black guy.
He missed all that genetic.
I didn't want to put that. I didn't want to put that work, that time and effort in.
I skipped over him. I had to work. Skip the generation.
Maybe two. But there were times that what I gather, nobody wanted to confront my granddad about any of the decisions that he made and the things that he did. So that's. And I don't even think he's down at the Bessie Smith for that, you know. So
we need to work on that, man.
Yeah, we got to, because here's the thing: there's a lot of history here in Chattanooga.
A lot
missed out. Like, we're getting ready to have an event here October
February 19th, this Thursday at 6.
Yeah, well, we recognize the panel. We're having a panel discussion where we talked to some of the first in the history of the fire department. The first woman, one of the first women to be promoted to captain, retire, African-American woman by Benita Scruggs. And, you know, our Chief Ernest Porter, who was one of the first assistant chiefs.
First battalion chief. First battalion chief. Yeah.
Then we have, who else we got? William Thompson, yep. Who was one of the founders of the Black Firefighters Organization. And just to hear those stories from them.
Right.
I mean, we had the brunch, and it blew my mind. Like, I've heard it before, but to hear it from somebody who had actually impacted was Black firefighters were only allowed to work in two stations.
Right.
Here in Chattanooga. Right.
Only two stations. And then he said he got promoted to lieutenant. He was able to travel to other stations, but only could sleep in a specific bed.
Right.
You know, and that kind of like, we're all in the same room. And that just kind of let me know, like, this wasn't that long ago.
Right.
One lifetime.
Yeah. You know, so when it comes to, and so this leads to my next question.
Okay.
With knowing that, hearing stories of that, when we talk about Black History Month, is it more commercialized now?
I think to a point, yes. Maybe not like some of the other.
And I don't think, and I asked that, I don't think it's a bad thing because I think every holiday is,
I think it's a bad thing with the intentions. It depends on the intention. If the commercialized part of it is just for someone to make money off of it, that's an issue. If it's commercialized just to get the word out to the masses, that's good.
But I think of things like Valentine's Day. We just had Valentine's
commercialized.
Day. Thanksgiving.
Commercialized.
Christmas.
Commercialized.
4th of July.
Commercialized.
So Black History Month is just following the same. But again.
Yeah, but you don't see.
What are we doing to earn that?
You don't see the aisles at Walmart with Black History Month stuff because they've already gone to Easter. Now, if you go to Walmart right now, you're going to see them putting up Easter stuff, yeah, taking down the Valentine's Day stuff. So he hadn't made it to that point yet. But there are people that are obviously making money off Black History, you know, and not really investing in the actual history.
Right.
You know, and that's the issue. For sure.
And whose responsibility? To me, it goes back to us.
It does.
As individuals.
It does.
Our community.
It does.
Culture.
Mm-hmm.
Educating. Because nobody's going to teach you better than you. So, again, and when I say that, I talk about, you know, just listening to Ernest Porter, and some of those first come through the fire department or any service. It should mean something important to you to know that people struggled,
right,
and went through something, you know. So how are you going to honor them? Are you going to come in and just slack off, or you come in and give your best 100% effort in everything?
Yeah, the mindset has to be there. Excuse me. The mindset has to be there to do just what you're saying or what you're speaking of, Dame. Like, you know, you can take what we do. There's been us that have come in and just become a slacker, you know, and thinking that, and I don't have to do anything but show up, you know, but it's more to it than that, you know.
Yeah, it's way more to it.
Yeah, so even with that process, or I'm going to say I'll take it back as far as being during the training part of it before they actually get out, you know, how many are really taking it serious, you know. Is it a situation or is the mindset there like this is just a different job other than McDonald's, but I mean, I can treat it like a job from McDonald's.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's just the things that, when it comes to that, it's just the things that, you know, they're not looking at the bigger picture. Everybody's not. I'm going to say everybody's not looking at the bigger picture of how we were able to jump into this pretty much dominant white field or career to know that this right here means something. You know, it's just not because they have to hire so many minorities. And I think at one point during the hiring phase or hiring process.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this, even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at rss.com.
Says, yeah, it used to have to be, I think, 34% what the African-Americans that were in the city.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if it's still like that, but I do remember like that being a thing. And like, do you not know what it takes to get in here?
I people tell me that because, you know, I
right.
I don't want to because want you because you want to be here.
Right, right.
Are you willing to put in the work?
Right, absolutely.
Now, how we level the playing field is by, hey, talking to, getting you interested, getting you paired, you know, because at the end of the day, you have to perform when it comes to taking a test and being in the academy and actually working on the trucks. Forget about the visibility. I would rather build that legacy versus just saying we got more African-Americans in the fire department. That doesn't matter to
no.
me. Again, no. because you can have people on the fire department that don't need to
be. Right.
And that's both black, white, male, female, whatever.
Well, even in that, there is a day in the academy or days in the academy where they talk about the history of the fire department.
Yeah.
In that lesson, do they talk about the people of color?
But that's our fault.
I'm just throwing it out there.
Yeah.
Do you know why it's important for you to take pride in what you're doing and wear that uniform?
Yeah. Right.
Has anybody sat you down and said, hey, because the question that I posed the other day about that one rank, right? Mm-hmm. We're still less than 10 people that have assumed that rank that have been of color. Now, that may not be a huge deal to the average Joe or whatever, but if you think about a place that's been running since 1871, and you've only, and you've not crossed the benchmark of 10, and 10 is a low number.
Yeah, very low.
10 is a low number. When you think about the span of the actual career path.
I'm going to tell you about 10%. 10, why that's, and I'm going to give it back to across the nation.
Talk to me.
And I know this is, we're talking about black history, but across the nation, we have less than 10% women in the fire service. And that's across the nation. That's hundreds of thousands of fire departments. Less than, and that's how low that 10% is.
Right. And we're just talking local.
Yeah, we're just talking local.
I was going through my memory, and just throwing names out and counting fingers, and 7 and 8.
Yeah. You're looking at, as of today, that's 154 ago, you know.
And you've got less than 10 of color. It's
but I will
that's
say,
the reason we have to acknowledge those people that have been the trailblazers in our community. But we have to be careful not to, again, relegate it to just 1 month, because everything happens on a time frame, right, and on a time scale. I'd be interested, because I never even heard of anybody that did something great in February, right? When things were done, they've been done throughout.
At the year.
Throughout the year.
Right.
Right? Throughout the years, months, weeks, days, whatever. But I don't remember anyone saying, well, Frederick Douglass made this speech on February 2nd, or Martin Luther King stood on the mountaintop February 16th or whatever. Nah. It was, they did it, and whatever the date was or whatever, when they did it, there were other things going on that have been in different books, let alone chapters, when it came to history, when it should have been in sequence, this was going on. And then while that was going on, toward the end of that, this happened.
But who's with, like, the history books and all that? We know that the history books have been tainted throughout the history. Mm-hmm. We found out years ago that Columbus didn't discover America.
And it was a mistake. it discovered him.
But whose responsibility is teach that history to our...
I think the big issue is a lot of people don't know the history. But I also think that that's one of the pros with social media. And one of the issues, for me, when they were going back and forth about who owned TikTok and China owning TikTok and all the things or whatever, I think that was a ruse. I think that the real issue is that you were able to get information right then and there. If there was some protest going on in St. Louis, somebody had a camera up going live on one of social media sites, and you were able to see what was going on right then. So you didn't have to wait for CNN or MSNBC or Fox News or any of those conglomerates or whatever to tell us, from their perspective, what was going on. You could see it live action from whoever was on the streets right then and there in the middle of it. Do you?
So let me ask this question, right? I know we all know the history of Black Wall Street.
Mm-hmm.
What would that look like?
The bad man.
That's right.
The bad man. Yeah. I wouldn't correct him either. You going to send me that picture so I can put it on the page?
But what would Black Wall Street look like?
Again, because of the cameras and the access that we have to social media and the web, you couldn't just blow up a community, right? Because Philadelphia dealt with it like in the 80s, the move, I forget, I have to look it up. But it was the move group that took up residence in this community, and they actually bombed one city block and burned it down, and had the fire department stay away from it and let it burn. And families died and kids died and women died, the whole 9 yards. And that was just in like the mid-80s.
That was...
It's in Philly, right?
Nah, yeah, it was South Street, Philly. It was the 50s and 70s. No. I'm talking about when it was thriving. I'm sorry. Let me correct myself. In the 50s and 70s, Philly was thriving. Like that black commercial district is what you're talking about.
Okay. But you ask about Black Wall Street. Let's go back to that. I think that Black Wall Street could thrive today. I think that if there were any issues, it would be within the community and not necessarily outside of the community. There would be some issues outside the community, obviously. But I think that if there were any issues to arise, it would be from inside the community.
But I think Black Wall Street still exists today.
Talk to me.
We own businesses. You know, we're in the CEO roles. We're in, you know, we're leading organizations. We're leading nonprofits and for-profits. Like, we're doctors, we're lawyers. Now, we could, what if, you know, again, what if? But we're not too far off from.
I only challenge that from a standpoint of, yes, we do have those people and those faces that are taking up these roles in these C-suite
presidents
positions. Yes. My question is that how many of them are gatekeepers and how many of them are holding the gates open? Is there any synergy? Are they reaching down and grabbing the person behind them? That looks like them or may not look like them. But
you know what? Somebody told me one time, is it for them to reach down and grab us, or is it for us to reach out and say, hey, I want that mentorship. I want that leadership.
I think it depends on the scenario. If you know better, then yeah, you have a due diligence to reach
out. If I'm reaching down, right? Reaching down may sound bad, but if I'm reaching back.
You're punching down.
And you don't want that, then that's an issue.
I think we all can, in our positions currently, I think we all can probably name at least one person that has those characteristics. You've watched them and you've seen that they have those characteristics that you say, hey, man, meet me for lunch.
Yeah.
Or, hey, man, I'm about to head over here for this event or whatever. Won't you ride with me?
We need more of that.
We need a lot more of that. Yeah. Now, there may be along the way one or two that come up and they have it in them. Hey, I want to go to this thing with you. Or hey, when you have this going on, can I ride with you? But I think it goes back and forth. I think that we have a duty to see those that have the potential to step up and take on the ranks. But I also think that for those that know better or have it in them to reach up, yes, don't sit there with your hand in your lap or whatever and just watch the world move around you. Yeah. Reach out.
And I feel like we have a lot of people that's just waiting for somebody to.
Well, it's a different generation now. I'm going to talk about the MOVE group. On May 13th, 1985, Philadelphia police dropped bomb on a row house occupied by Black Liberation Group MOVE, M-O-V-E, it's acronym, killing 11 people, including 5 children, and destroying 61 homes. Following a violent standoff, police dropped explosive and triggered the fire that officials let burn, causing massive devastation in the West Philadelphia neighborhood in 1985.
1985, shit, I was 4 years old.
Yeah, I was in I was in the fifth grade, 10 years old.
Yeah, Randy, how old was you?
I was in the ninth grade.
So let me ask you, in 2026,
okay,
today, what does Black excellence look like to you guys?
I think at this point, for me, I can't speak for anyone else, because I've taken this different road and have had an epiphany when it comes to excellence. I think for me, anything that you do and find pleasure in that doesn't bother anybody else, is Black excellence. Somebody horn going on?
Yeah, I hear it, but I don't. I'm just...
I think that we should be doing away with the times where we're trying to get like or be like or act like somebody else. We should be finding our own slice of the pie and living or fulfilling our life within it and not having to keep up with the Joneses or the Smiths or whoever. But just having your own and being happy and content with your own.
Randy, what does Black excellence look like for you in 2026?
You saying as an individual or just what it looks like just today in today's time?
In your eyes.
I guess I can say, and just had a conversation with a brother, actually two of them today. They are builders in the city. And I can say that with what they do on a local level and as far as supporting the community with, I'm going to say, reasonable housing, I would say that for me, just right off the top of the dome, I consider that to be Black excellence. This one brother that I talked to right before arriving, he told me that he also finances homes for tenants that are really wanting to and serious about purchasing their own home.
Yeah, oh, really?
Yeah.
Can we get the information to put it on the page or on the website? I mean,
I got you. Yeah, we can. So for me, I guess anybody that is showing up in the community and really putting forth an effort for the community to give those same people an opportunity to own. Right. I'll just stop right there to own first and foremost, since that's the conversation that I'm on. That's black excellence to me. But I love to see our sisters and brothers, you know, moving forward and progressing in life with even the business ventures or even just how they're living. Mm-hmm. You know, it's been a struggle, you know, for the community for a long time, and it still is for some.
Right.
So just going back to that's black excellence for me.
I think black excellence, you know, is just about, we've had this conversation before about just being a good person. Right. So for me, and I'm not saying I'm black excellence, but what can I do to help?
We know you're not
the next person.
We know you're not.
What can I do? What can I do? How can I live my life that can impact somebody else? You know,
I can do
whether that's in our community or any community. Right.
Right.
Because I always look at us and I say we represent each other. Mm-hmm. Right. So if I can help somebody achieve something.
Right.
You know, if I can help somebody by giving advice or help somebody when it comes to home. So one thing, and I give this quick shout out to Councilwoman Rakita Dotley.
One time.
So Chattanooga has a lot of development going on. Mm-hmm. So one thing that we did down in District 7, and that's South Chattanooga area, is that you're not going to come into this area, build homes or apartments, and not give the people in this area the first opportunity to purchase those homes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that's some of the things that she did out in South Chattanooga.
One time for her, man.
One time for my classmate.
Yeah, man, one time.
Q dot.
But again, it's
one time.
It's about using the platform you have to impact those around
us. Yeah, mm-hmm. Like you said earlier, to reach back.
Yeah, to reach back. Because you never know who's watching you. You know, I hear so many times, you know, in what we do, it feels good to have people come in and say, oh, man, I remember you. I had a kid just this past Sunday. Hey, I remember when you came to my school and talked to us. You know, mm-hmm. I've graduated, but my brother's there at the school now, and I want you to talk to him, too.
Okay.
You know, again, it's just about being a good person,
yeah.
You know, regardless of whatever. What can I do to help the next person?
Yeah.
I want to be that example. I want to be that example for those who I don't know are watching. It's like, hey, that's the guy that I want to kind of be
emulate.
Like.
Yeah. Just for definition purposes, I just want to read what black excellence is. Black excellence signifies the high achievement, resilience and brilliance of black individuals and communities, often in the face of systemic racism and society barriers.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's why I made my point earlier about finding that piece of the pie that's yours, because for so long we've gotten in trouble as a community trying to match or be like our counterparts from other cultures.
Right.
We had a conversation in a thing that we do in the past couple of weeks of grooming standards and policy, and what the definition of professional
right.
professionalism looks like. And a lot more times than not, depending on where you're coming from,
right.
that definition is going to be...
It's going to be different.
Different.
It's going to be different. It's going to be worded different. It's going to look different.
Right. And in the professional community, a lot more times than not, it's going to be based on Christian white males. Mm-hmm. The suit, tie,
right.
the whole nine. It's clean cut,
right.
cut, clean shaven. But if you're from Jamaica,
right.
if you're from Russia, if you're from China, wherever, your dress may not be suit and tie.
Right.
Right.
It may be a dashiki.
Yeah.
It may not be clean cut. Yeah. It may be dreadlocks.
Yeah. And then you're looking at that's a culture difference at the same time.
Cultural difference.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's important to recognize that we all play a part in this big thing called life.
Absolutely.
And that one person's definition should not dictate a whole different culture, because that's how people have gotten in trouble. I've been up on Patrice Lumumba lately, okay. and the Congo, a Congolese culture, and how Belgium came in and was wearing them boys out over there and robbed them of their resources. Well, Patrice Lumumba comes in, and he is the first elected prime minister of the Congo. And he's talking from a standpoint of, instead of them coming in and robbing us of our resources, we should have access to our resources and be able to sit at the table to bargain and dictate how those resources are divvied out and make money off our own stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, with that, he was kidnapped, killed, and his body was dissolved in sulfuric acid. And for years, that was hidden or kept out of the public or whatever. And I think Belgium just did this official apology of what they did to him and how it all went down. Still not recognizing the damage that was done to that culture or that country. And then the CIA had a lot to do with it from what I've understood. And nobody's come forward and said, hey, yeah, we messed that up. Sorry about that. You know.
I mean, I stay away from Belgium.
I don't even want a Belgian waffle out there hearing some of this stuff. For real.
So this has been a good conversation for us. Again, just throwing it out there, and it's something for you to go back, you know, if you're listening to. So I just want to leave you with this take. You know, we don't just talk about history tonight. You know, we talk more so about responsibility. Black history isn't just a moment. It's momentum. So it's not just a struggle. It's strategy. It's not just survival. It's excellence. And the question is, what are you building? And that's one, if you're listening, this is kind of what the takeaway, and I champion you guys on doing this, is thinking about what are you doing to continue the Black history every day, not just in February.
Not just in February. So are we not going to get into the second part of this thing?
No. Nah,
yeah.
45 minutes.
45 minutes is it?
Man,
sip and chatter.
Two P's, two
T's. Yeah. Two P's, two T's.
And, for the listeners, we got some.
Hey, man, they don't need to know all that. Excuse me. Hey, tell them about the web, because we got merch.
Thank you.
We got merch.
Sip and chat tanuga @gmail.com is the email. SIPPNCHATTA.
Sip and chat to who?
Nuga.
Oh, okay.
Sippinchattanooga @gmail.com is the email address.
Thank you.
You can find us on Instagram at Sippinchat, SIPPNCHATT. And also the website, Sippinchat.com, SIPPNCHATT.com, where you can find most of the streaming services that you can find us on, but also the Instagram page. And
can we get a round of applause for this next one?
The merch.
Randy's over merch.
One time for the merch. So getting all that together now, you're going to be able to find it on the website here pretty soon. I actually went to the website today to kind of see how we could configure putting that out there. But you'll be able to go to our website and find all the merch. Hoodies, tumblers, T-shirts.
Mocktail glass,
the whole night.
Yeah, magnets, refrigerator magnets.
Everything.
So check us out. Thank you for listening to us. Thank you for supporting us. Share, like, follow, all the things that you can do on social media for Sip and Chat. We do appreciate you. Damien.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, Brandon, you had something?
Yeah. Well, I was just going to add to the shout out. I was just going to give the announcements for the shout outs, if that's okay.
And again,
we'd like to give shout outs to our sponsors and inspirations. Rise of Chattanooga.
Yes, sir.
Amplify Podcast Network, 2901 Taylor Street. Old Post Beverage, 3472 Battlefield Parkway.
Tell them Sipping Chat
sent you. And his peoples. Mm-hmm. And if I can, I would like to leave a little word of the day or something to...
Do your thing, Randy.
Something to ponder on.
Do your thing.
Shade coming from a tree bearing no fruit should never faze you. I'll read that again. Shade coming from a tree bearing no fruit should never faze you.
I like it.
Good job, Ray. Good job. You all right, man. You all right.
So thank you for tuning in for another episode of Sip and Chat. And hopefully, fingers crossed, this will be the last episode that you listen to that is audio, because we're looking at going to video.
We are.
Yes.
So stay tuned. Thank you for listening in. Sip and Chat, 2 P's, 2 T's. We out.
Damn.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this, even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at rss.com.